as we read the Word of God. Amen. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Isaiah 55. We're going to read the entire chapter. Isaiah 55. What a day to honor the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Isaiah 55. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is worthy to be praised forevermore. Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, says the Lord, and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts, these are the words of the Lord, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to the Lord empty, but will accomplish what the Lord desires and achieve the purpose for which I sent it, says the Lord. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. The words of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. What a powerful time of worship. What a powerful way to start, the first Sunday of 2020. And, we welcome you all. You know, it's exciting every time we come together and see each other. And, of course, we would like to acknowledge those who are with us for the very first time. Amen. And so we welcome our brother here. Praise the Lord. What's your name, brother? Titos? Kitos. Kitos. Oh, like mosquito. Okay, got it, brother. Let's welcome brother Kito here. Yes, praise the Lord. And actually, this is her second time with us because she first came here on our Wednesday Bible study night. Our sister, Benny. Let's welcome her. Actually, she is the grandma of Sister Elaine's friend who came here at one time, right? And she's fresh from the Philippines. She's 88 years old. On fire for the Lord. Oh, on fire for God. Amen. And so we're so blessed to have you with us, Sister Benny. Amen. And all of you. We welcome you all. And of course, a blessed Sunday. We have Pastor Ayida and Sister Dino with us here on January for the first Sunday. Amen. Praise God. And, we're excited as far as what God is going to do. We are observing prayer and fasting. As the Word of God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. There's something about us seeking God. And so we're not going to serve lunch today, and it's going to be a 21-day fasting. And so, we have a sign-up sheet. What we're going to do within the 21 days is all of our days for Bible studies and Friday prayer meetings, we're not going to bring our favorite dishes, but we're going to make use of the time in seeking the Lord in our prayer and fasting. Amen. How many of you believe that there's power in prayer coupled with fasting? Please be encouraged. Please be encouraged. Amen. Because God would honor us as we come to Him. Amen. Seeking Him with all of our hearts. And, you know, we also have, you know, in the year 2020, how many of you have your New Year's resolution list? No, none. I think everybody gave up on that, no? But there's one goal that I think we should, as Christians, do. Like the Apostle Paul, his goal was to know Christ more and more. And how do we know the Lord more? Through the Word. And so we're going to have this Bible the whole year, that we have a plan, a goal to read the Bible for the entire year. So we made up, some people might kind of see it like overwhelming. So we're going to do it on a monthly basis. We're going to give you a monthly calendar for the month of January for your Bible reading. Amen. And my suggestion is, here's the thing. I think that the Lord wants us to learn these types of disciplines. Amen. If we have married couples here, both husband and wife know the Lord, serving God. You could be like, okay, probably the missus would tell the hubby, hey, did you read the Bible reading today? Right. So, like, remind each other. Like my mom and myself, we could tell each other, hey, mom. Or probably my mom would ask me, have you read, because she has more time than me, have you read our Bible reading today? So that sounds like a plan. But for those of you who don't have, we're going to have, pray for someone who will be like your covenant partner. We're going to make, hey, brother, sister, okay, brother to brother, sister to sister, partner, accountability. Yes, Sister Janet. So have you read our Bible reading? Yes. Can we do that? So before you leave, please grab one. We're going to make copies for each one of us. And you know what? I know that God will speak to all of us, individually and corporately as a church. Amen? Praise God. So that sounds like a plan. Hallelujah. And of course, let me take this opportunity also. Since we're going to have 21-day fasting, we have so many birthday celebrants for the month of January. But I'm sorry that we're praying and fasting. So what we're going to do, the game plan is, on the 26th, the Sunday, we're going to honor all of our January birthday celebrants. Amen. Glory to God. And, you know, this is such an important time for us to recognize one another and just recognize our brethren who, in their important milestone. Talking about milestone, our sister Sally, her upcoming, you know, milestone in her life. Praise God. And so, and thank you so much for your continuous prayers and financial support. You know, you and I have been entrusted a worthy cause, and that is to share the gospel to so many. Amen. And please pray for Brother Ray. He's now in the Philippines, and he has such an important mission. God spoke to us. I would say this constantly to remind us as a body that God has called us. You see that banner every time you come here in church, Isaiah 58. But God gave us another verse in Isaiah 41 pertaining to the great need for those poor people in Montalban to have source of clean running water. The Lord already gave His promise, and so we are already taking steps of faith regarding that. We are believing that God is going to move. And so Brother Ray will meet with Pastor Romel and even the vice mayor of Montalban to talk about the water project. How many believe that God is able to provide for water for these poor people? Amen. And you are a part of that in your, you know, faithful giving. Amen. As we open up our hearts to the word of God in the area of giving, you know, we just thank you so much for your continuous support. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer. And thank Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You that You are our abundant supplier. You're the God who supplies all our needs according to Your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, You gave Your best. In fact, question is raised in the Word of God, if, Lord, you did not withhold your only Son, Jesus, from us, how shall you not in Christ freely give us all things that we need? And so, Lord, we thank you for encouraging us as a people of God that, Lord, you are truly our abundant and faithful supplier. And so, Father God, even as we take our tithes and offering today, you are faithful to do your part to provide, supply all of our needs. When we drop our giving today like a seed, there is a time for harvest for us. And as we wait, we know that, Lord, heaven is wide open. You're rebuking the devourer in our lives, God. That, Lord, as you bless us, that we will be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we call on the ushers, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just encourage you. You know how, you know, as we are giving to God, and of course we are holding on to His promises, I have a recent testimony of how God provides. You know, when God provides, it comes from, you know, the least expected, unexpected resources. Amen. And so when I opened the office one day and gathered all the mail, and there was a card, and it was, and the card came all the way from Florida. Florida. And there was a sister in Christ who remembered me. And that touched my heart to know that God can use anyone, even from thousands of miles away, to provide for our needs. See, God sees and knows everything. Amen. And so we are thankful to the Lord for that. Amen. So praise God. And so we are so blessed that, you know, the opportunity for us to hear the Word of God today. Amen. And so let's welcome Pastor Aida. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. My goodness, the first Sunday of the new year. What a privilege to be here and to be alive and to be in the house of God on this first Sunday. And you know, acknowledge that it's not just the first Sunday of the new year, but this is the first Sunday of the new decade. We are approaching and the unfolding of the 2020 decade. And so there's a lot to be said about this year and the coming years. I'm so thankful for years past, you know, the trials, the valleys, the storms, the highs, the lows, the victory. I am thankful for all of it because as we stand here, you and I know that God saw us through it and that we came through it by the grace and the mercies of God. No matter how difficult, no matter how challenging, God saw us through it. And we're standing here giving Him praise, glory, and honor. And so we thank God for friends and family that that had a part in the strengthening of our hearts and of our souls and of our very lives. And I want to give a great hallelujah and thank you to you all, my church, my family here, the New and Living Way Church. Thank you for being so supportive and prayerful over things that concern me and my life, my children, my family. I want to thank Dina for always just being so faithful and supportive to come and stand alongside me. And thanking you for celebrating her and receiving her and honoring her as well as you honor me. And so to my pastor, Pastor Monette, you know, the years of fellowship and friendship and the holy alliance that God created unbeknownst to us. Who knew what God was doing back, 11, 12 years ago now? I've lost track. But who knew what God was going to do and how He was going to knit our hearts and create this one pathway leading to him, that we would be able to join together and work together, and to see Mama, you know, after all these years, still as young and as strong and as vibrant and as cheerful. When she gives hugs, you know who's hugged you, and the prayer, the perfume that lifts up from this church. It's just, I know that God is blessed, and so many are blessed. And so, I wanted to, pray before I get into the message that God has given me, and bless you. Father God, I just come before the throne, Father God, before your throne of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our blessed Savior. And I want to declare and pronounce a blessing over this congregation, Lord, a blessing over this church, Lord. I want to say thank you publicly, Father God, for this family of Christ here in Carson, Lord Jesus. Thank you for their love toward you and how they love you and honor you, how this is a house that celebrates Jesus. Father God, I want to thank you that this is the house that you indwell, Lord Jesus. That's never to be taken lightly, that the presence of God and the Spirit of God is in this place. I want to thank you for that, Lord, and I bless them for being faithful to the call, faithful to the charge, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for their faithfulness to the assignment that you've placed upon them corporately and individually, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you that though the trials and the storms came, Father God, you saw them through and they stood upon the rock, immovable, unshakable, standing, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you that when one feels like quitting, nevertheless, we don't, Lord Jesus, because of who you are, Lord, and that they stood ground and they stood firm, Father God, and they stand here celebrating Christ and himself crucified. Stand here celebrating and saying, onward Christian soldiers, my Lord. Stand here celebrating the victories, the trials, the storms, Father God, because we have cause to celebrate you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, in this day, on this Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year, the opening up of this decade, Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I pronounce them whole and healed, Father God, delivered and set free. I thank you that they are saved, Lord Jesus, that this is a house that opens up its doors, Lord, unto you and you alone, my God. I thank you that from this house proceeds perfume, Lord, that goes up into your nostrils, Lord, blessing you mightily, Lord. I thank you that they are a people who know their God. They are a people who know their God and therefore do mighty exploits, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the cause of Jesus. Father God, that their assignment is not just local, but it's to the nations, my God. I thank you for the seed that's been sown from this house, going into the many, many, many nations, Lord, bearing the fruit, the harvest, Father God, that we lay at your feet. And so, Lord, going forward, I just bless them and I thank you for them, Lord Jesus. I pray thy will be done upon each and every one of them. Thy will be done in this church and through this church body, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you're enlarging and you're increasing, Lord. Hallelujah. Each and every one. I thank you for their hunger and for their thirst, Lord. I thank you that they love you and they live to serve you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the Spirit of God that's in this house, Lord. And so, Lord, blessing them, I bless them. Blessing them, I bless them, Lord. Thank you that you bless them. In the name of Jesus, we pray and say, amen, amen, amen. You know, I just want to give a brief word about 2020. It's not my message, but I feel impressed to do so. And that is to just encourage each and every one of us. You know, God is seated on the throne and God is in charge. So how many know for Christians, no need to fear? God is for us, and he who is for us, you know, he who is for us, then who and what can rise up against us and have any measure of victory in our lives? Amen. How many know we are victorious? We do overcome. We have overcome because of who he is. But I just want to, you know, just a heads up that 2020 is going to be a year of love and favor and grace because of who God is and who we are to God. But it's also going to be a tumultuous year. I don't want to sugarcoat because time is short and the enemy is on the prowl. And so this year, you know, oil the armor. Fine tune your armor. This year, acknowledge the weapons that God has given you because you're going to have need of them. Because there is a wave coming of hatred and vitriol and that spirit of Antichrist. How many know the sooner he comes, the larger that spirit gets upon the land? How many know he's coming soon? And so the enemy is going to step up his antics and his tactics and know that those that he's going to persecute are not those that don't know Christ. They're you and me. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So this is not an alert, a warning of doom. This is unto your victory, unto encouragement. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. If he can take you out, I'm telling you, if the enemy can take you out, he will do everything in his power to do so. Now, perhaps more than ever, the power of the local church, the power of to stand and remain unified, is going to be more necessary than ever. And coming to church will no longer be an option. It will no longer be if I can, when I can, if I'm comfortable, if I feel well enough. It will be out of need that you need to come and gather and lift up one another. You're going to need to lift up one another. Can I tell you, you are your friend's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. Moses needed Aaron and he needed her. You will need an Aaron and you will need her. And what better place to find it than in the house of God? Now more than ever, give time to prayer. Make time for prayer. Now more than ever, seek the Lord. You're going to need direction. It's going to get confusing out there. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Good intentions will still give confusing directions. Do you understand what I'm saying? People with good intentions will still create confusion, but we are not people that hear good intentions or moved by our feelings. We have got to know the word of the Lord and what God is saying over every situation. I'm telling you that in 2020, you're going to make difficult decisions. God is calling his people to make a choice. How many know he's tired of lukewarm Christianity? He's tired of those who will take a back seat and just observe. I'm wanting to encourage you. I hope this is sounding like encouragement. Pull in, draw near, engage. That is true Christianity. It is not sitting in a chair, observing and saying, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. God is saying, who is willing to give out, put out, serve out? It's time to seek him, as Pastor said, while he can be found. And what does that mean? That he's hiding from us? No. It means that he's coming soon and time is short. Like never before, reach out to your family members. Like never before. Be bold. Pray for boldness. I'm praying for boldness. I'm living with my son and my daughter, my granddaughter. It's a loving house, but it is not the house that Lou and I had. By that I mean the Spirit of God in that house. I'm having to ask for boldness and for strength to speak up. To speak up. And that can be delicate and it can be fragile because the love goes so deep. But because I love them, I must speak. How many know that can be very difficult? You don't want to offend. You don't want to wound. You want to respect. And it is not my home necessarily. In other words, I'm not the queen of that home. My daughter by marriage to my son is the queen of that home. I need to know when I need to step back. But God is telling me, and you need to know, Aida, when you need to step in. And lift up my name in the midst of that which is dark. And so I'm just saying, none of us will be spared that as a Christian. Whether it's with your son or your husband or parent or family member or friend, in the workplace, in school, you're going to have to make a decision on which side you're going to stand on. And I pray that we stand on the rock, immovable, unshakable. 2020 is going to open up many doors, those that are of God and those that are not. My brothers and sisters, because I love you, be discerning. Ask for wisdom, ask for knowledge, ask for understanding. Ask that God directed. The word of God says if they can be deceived, they shall be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. 2020 is here. And I believe we need to be ready for it. Amen. And God is just doing amazing things. Amazing things. I'm believing now more than ever perhaps for signs and wonders. I'm believing now perhaps more than ever for miracles, the miraculous, healings, harvests of salvation, souls coming in. Not one, not two, not three, but I believe different venues, thousands are going to be coming in. And so, you know, as I said that to God, I said, God, you know, I'm just believing for your supernatural power to come in so many different places, so many different venues, so many different ways. And you know what he said to me? Why not? I am God after all. Why not? All I need is for my people to believe. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. And so as I was asking God questions, he said, you know, Aida, there are questions in the Bible that I'm asking. And they were written in the Bible so that you can read the questions that God over the years has asked his people. And how many know when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He knows the answer, right? We know we serve the God all-knowing. Amen. He knows the answer. So when he asks a question, it's for our benefit. He wants to get some understanding, some revelation, some knowledge to you. He needs to get something to you. He's wanting to reveal something to you. When God asks you a question, he wants you to think and identify and seek him so that he can give you the answer, the response. When God asks you a question, he will rock your world with his response. And so some of the questions in the Bible that I thought were very interesting, and then I'll get to the message, which is about a question. It's found in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis 3. I'm not going to go there and read it, but I'm referring to it. In Genesis 3, God asked Adam, where are you? Right in the first book, right in the beginning, Adam, where are you? And I'm telling you today that God's asking his bride, where are you? God's trying to locate you. He knows where you are. Do you know where you are? Do you know what side you're standing on? Do you know what you believe in? Do you know what you stand for? Do you know your God? Where are you? In the very first book of the Bible, in the beginning, God would ask his son Adam this question. Where are you? Right in the beginning, we see a crossroad between humanity and the Creator. And God saying, where are you, Adam? My only creation on earth so far in the form of a human being. Where are you? In other words, where have you drifted to? Why, Adam, are you hiding from me? And so maybe God is asking us that question. Where are you? Good question to ask in the first Sunday of the new year. So that we can get it together. So that we've got time to say, where am I in my walk with God? Where am I? Am I cold? Am I lukewarm? Am I on fire? Am I indifferent? Where am I? First question. Another question that you'll find in Joshua 7. Again, I'm not going to necessarily go there, but you can refer and you can go there. It'll be found in Joshua 7. It says, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? I thought that was an interesting question. Stand up, Joshua. What are you doing down on your face? God is now revealing to Joshua the sin of Israel. Joshua falls to the ground on his face because he can't handle what God is about to show him. And so God tells Joshua, because he loves him, and he's about to entrust Joshua with an assignment. So he says, not on your feet, Joshua, get up. Because this battle, you're going to have to fight standing up. Some battles you fight on your knees. Through the travail and the moaning and the groaning and the prayer and the intercession. And you fall to your knees. But after you fall to your knees, you got to get up and engage into the battle. And so he says to Joshua, Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face? Now it's time to stand up, rise up, and walk into the battle. Why? Because I'm with you after all. Joshua never entered a battle alone. And let me give you some news, neither do you. So that's another question that God might ask us. Why are you still on your face when you should have risen by now? Why are you still on your face when he who is resurrection power abides in you? Why are you still on your face when the resurrected one has resurrected and called us to rise as well? I thought that was a very rock my world question. Another question that he asked, it's in Ezekiel 37. So you can write down these chapters and these books and then do some homework. Even as your pastor has challenged us and me, read through the Bible in 1 year. When you get to Ezekiel 37, okay, where was that question? Where was that question? It's good to be challenged, to read and to search, to do your own research. Because how many know God sees you hungry? He's going to feed you. He'll feed you wisdom. He'll feed you knowledge. He'll feed you revelation. That word will work in you, and whatever you have need of, that word will do. Why? Because we just read. It will not return to him void. He will accomplish what he sets out to do, what he desires to do through that word. When you chew it, when you read it, when you hear it, it shall be accomplished. That's an awesome promise. And one of my favorite questions that I always refer to in a lot of teachings and sermons and just in my own life is found in Ezekiel 37. How many know what question I'm thinking about? Can these dry bones live? You know how many times I've gone to God, these bones ain't moving much anymore. Can they move, let alone live? Dry bones coming to life. Can these bones live? And what does that mean? That's speaking again about the church, the army of God. Can you be that mighty army of God once again? Can you come together? Can we unite? Can we believe and join forces together? Can we be one bride, united in spirit? Can we come to... Can we live again for Jesus Christ? Can these dry bones live? And so God shows Ezekiel a vision. In this valley, there are skeletons. There's no skin on them anymore. There's no sinew on them anymore. So when Ezekiel looks out, what does he see? Death everywhere. And God is saying to Ezekiel, can they live? Am I not God, Ezekiel? Can you not prophesy? Can you not believe in my power? Can you not call what you see dead come back to life? See, we're going to need that going forward. I see friends and I see relatives going so far, so dark, so lost. God, can you touch their heart? Will it make a difference? Can you touch their mind? Can they think differently? Because from what I see, I don't know. God, they've gone so far. They're in so deep. And so I'm always reminded of Ezekiel 37. Can these dry bones live? Can God call that which is dead to life? Can you believe that? See, will you be able to do that with your faith in Christ Jesus? That's what he's telling Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I am God. I can do this. Well, drum from heaven. Woo! Hey, I heard a drum. I don't know where it came from. Praise the Lord. That's dry bones coming to life again. Come on. I prayed for signs and wonders. I don't know. Do you understand what God is saying to us today through this question? He's not saying Ezekiel. He's saying, Aida, what you see so dark and what you think is so dead, I know I can bring it to life. Can you, by your faith in me? Can you, by your faith in him, declare over your son, over your daughter, over your husband, over your wife, over your friend, over your parent, come to life in Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. You shall be healed. You shall be delivered. Can you? That's the question God's asking us today. Can you? Will you? Can you believe? How many know God can do it? How many here doubt that God can do it? But can you, through Christ Jesus, by faith in him, can you do it? That's the question for 2020, because there's going to be a lot of death around us, spiritually and in the natural. I just got an email before I came here this morning about a friend really doesn't want anybody to know, but her son posted something on Facebook. His mother has stage 4 cancer, and no more treatments. The doctor said no more. No more medicine, no more treatments. She needs a miracle. She's in hospice. And so just before coming, God asked me a question. Having been what you've been through, Aida, can you believe for her? When God asks you a question, he's about to rock your world. And yet another question. This one is found in Jonah 4. And this one I deal with more and more so lately. Is it right for you to be angry? How many know what I'm talking about? Jonah in the belly of the whale. And Jonah being sent on to Nineveh. And wanting God wanting Nineveh to be saved. And Jonah saying, they're not worthy of salvation. Don't even bother with them. Why waste your time with them? I'm not going. Because I'm so angry. And he asked this question. Jonah 4. Is it right for you to be angry? See, God will confront you in your area of unforgiveness. God will confront you in your shallow-mindedness. You know, I hear what's going on today, and I can be very proactive politically speaking. Let me just say it that way. I am very opinionated politically speaking. And that's not healthy for me these days. Losing friends and family members left and right. Facebook, unfriend her, unfriend her, unfriend her. It's okay as long as he's my friend. And I get it. I get it, you know. I get it. as long as I'm not offensive, rude, disrespectful, I will say what the word says. And you will lose friends over that. And can I tell you something, though? I do get angry. Lord Jesus, help me. I get angry sometimes. How can people be so, I'm going to say it, stupid, blind, deaf, narrow-minded, rebellious, stubborn, indifferent, so casual about their faith, about Christianity? How can Christians not read the Word and know what the Word of God says about issues? I get angry. And then God says to me, is it right for you to be angry, Aida? I guess it's not. I guess it's not. Long-suffering patience is what I pray for. So that instead of anger, I'm loving more, caring more, reaching out more, giving more truth in love, and not wanting to, here's truth, bam! I gotta pull back. I know that's just me, and I gotta work on that. So that question, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry because your little girl is so sick, and the doctor said she may not make it? Is it right for you to be angry at God? Is it right for you to be angry when God has given you such a good husband? And I think he went home early, but that's okay. God knows best. Is it right for me to hold bitterness about that? No, it isn't. Is it right for you to be angry because your husband is abusive? Because your boss didn't promote you after he promised to promote you? Because the teacher said you deserve an A but gave you a C? Is it right for you to be angry? Apparently the Word of God says no. He's got other options for us. He's got other channels for us to work out truth and love and ultimately the will of God. So those are the questions that I was thinking about. And there's more, but, you know, I could go on because I haven't gotten to my message yet. So, but this has to do with my message. So go with me to Exodus 4. Let's go to Exodus 4. Because God also asks Moses a question. How many think Moses was a pretty awesome model figure? Pretty powerful man of God. And yet God would ask Moses this question and rock his world. Book of Exodus. Chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Moses answered. Now let me just preface that. In chapter 3, Moses is having an intimate conversation with God. How many know you need to do that? More and more. Not just casual. Thy will be done, Lord. Amen. Move on. No, you need to be talking and listening. So in chapter 3, we see where Moses is having this dialogue with God. And he's telling God, look, God, I'm just not able. Look, I'm just not enough. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I lack? I can't do this thing you're assigning to me. This is the kind of conversation. And then there's a burning bush that we're going to get to a little bit that rocks Moses's world, okay? So when we read here in chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered, this is still part of the dialogue that's taking place in chapter 3. What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Question. Do you think God did not know what was in Moses' hand? But apparently Moses doesn't know what's in his hand, though he thinks he does. Moses himself does not know what he possesses. Oh, somebody better listen to me right now. Moses doesn't know what God has already given him, what he possesses, what he's capable of. A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and it ran, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Here's what I want you to understand. What we see here is Moses with a staff in his hand. And this staff to Moses as a shepherd represents so much. The staff is a symbol of identity. When people see the staff, they immediately know Moses is a shepherd keeper. It identifies his assignment, identifies his career, identifies what this man does for a living. This staff is so important to Moses because this staff Moses has used for his protection, for his well-being, even for the protection of the sheep whom he's responsible for. See, as Moses travels the dusty roads, sometimes snakes appear on the road. And with a staff, he could stop, he could kill, he could cause them to run away. Also, Moses uses the staff for stability. How many knows there's rough terrain, maybe rocky, maybe pebbles, maybe whatever. And you use a staff to kind of, you know, okay, you know, and so to be more sure-footed along his path. This staff to Moses was a lot. It spoke of how he earned a living, so how income came into the house. Do you understand what this staff is to Moses? It's all that he is. It represents all that he does. It represents his livelihood. In the hands of Moses, this staff is meaningful and necessary for Moses' well-being and for the sheep whom he has charge over. So a simple staff for Moses represented a lot. And so for God to tell him, throw it down. I mean, I would be saying, that's why Aida's not written there, but Moses is. Aida, we'd be saying, are you nuts? Throw this down? How am I going to do my job with the sheep? How am I going to navigate the terrain? How am I going to protect myself on the road? How am I going to make finances come in for my family? Lord, do you understand the predicament you put me in once I throw this staff down? That would be more like it would sound if he had spoken to me, I think. But it's 2020 and I'm learning. You don't argue with God. And you don't hear Moses saying, Lord, wait, I don't know. Please reconsider. No, he says in verse 2, then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Moses replies, a staff. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground. No argument. No plea. No bargaining. What do you see? Obedience. Faith. Trust. God said it. I'll do it. God said it. I'll do it. And so what I want you to understand is the faith of Moses to throw down what was in his hand and now throw it down and let God have his way with what he now is giving back to God. See, some of us have got to give back to God what he's given us. Can you sing, give back to God? Can you serve, give it back to God? Can you preach? Give it to God. Are you a teacher? Give it to God. Do you have finances? Give it to God. Give it back to God. Watch what he will do with it. Watch what he will do with it. See, what I want you to understand that while it was in Moses' hand, it served Moses. Once Moses laid it down, we're going to read later where it served the nation. It not only served Moses, but it served Israel. Not only did it serve Israel, but the staff now became God's staff, serving God. Do you understand the power of this? And then God says, I'm going to take this opportunity to show even my son Moses who I am. How many know in chapter 3 he says, Moses, why do you fear? Why do you doubt? I am who I am, and I am is going with you. That's what he wanted Moses to understand. But in chapter 4, he's saying, and now they're going to see those who don't believe. Pharaoh's going to see. Egypt is going to see. My people are going to see my power. Because what happens to the staff once he throws it down? Turns into a snake. When it was in Moses' hands, it didn't turn into a snake. The minute he threw it down, it turned into a snake because God wanted to show Moses, Pharaoh, Egypt, the Israelites, he is Almighty God, all-powerful God, the miracle-working God, the miraculous God. And the thing that I find so amazing about this is that God tells Moses, as if throwing down this staff wasn't enough, that it now would turn into a snake. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the symbolism of that. But then he tells Moses, and now pick it up by its tail. What? What? Look, I'm a city kid, but I even know you don't ever pick up a snake by its tail. Why? Because it's long and winding, and you pick it up by its tail. What does it do? It turns around and bites you. You pick up a snake by the head or the neck. If you can, I would never, but if you can, grab it by, and you choke it here, you get the jaw, and it can't harm you. Now, the body is swinging around and doing, but you never grab a snake by the tail. But what does God say to Moses? Moses, grab it by the tail. See, because we're the head and not the tail. Because God is about to tell us, you're the head and not the tail. Whether the tail or the head, I'm with you, Moses. You don't need to fear. This snake will by in no means bite you, harm you. I got this. Somebody here said, God's in charge. God's all powerful. Pick up the snake by the tail. It won't bite you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And let me tell you what God was also doing. See, you got to give what you got to God so that he can do what only God can do. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, certain things in my hands are limited. But once I surrendered my life to God, look, without Christ, your life is limited. I'm not saying you can't reach for the stars. I can't say you can't go to the moon. Men and women have. But God wants more. Once you turn your life over to God, then there's nothing you can't do. Nothing is impossible for you, the Word of God says, if you can just believe Him. And what is God talking about? Not just the natural. God's talking about the spiritual, the supernatural. Why can't we have miracles every single day? I'm talking about in our midst, in our sphere, on our path. I know there are miracles taking place around the world and here and there and everywhere, but every day on my path. Why? I'm a miracle working. I'm a miracle of God. If I believe the God of miracles, then when I lay hands on somebody, God will say a miracle. God will say a healing. God will say a deliverance. God will do a salvation. Why not every day, all day? He's God all day. He's God yesterday. He's God today. He's God forever. Why not? And that's what God is wanting to show Moses. Listen, Moses, when you throw down that snake, this is what Pharaoh's thinking in his mind. Because that snake to the Egyptians was a symbol of royalty and majesty and power. And now it's on the ground. A staff and now a serpent. Now a snake. And Pharaoh, see, in the days of the kings and the pharaohs of Egypt, they wore these crowns. I don't know if they still do this today, but they wore these crowns, and one of the symbols on their crown was a serpent. So maybe Pharaoh was standing right in front of Moses with a crown and a serpent. And now he sees the serpent on the floor. And then he's about to see Moses pick it up by the tail. And then he's about to see the serpent turn back into a staff again. Meaning what? Egypt surrenders to me. Egypt will submit to God's authority. See, nations submit eventually to God's authority. Every knee will bow one day. Every tongue will confess one day that Jesus alone, He is God. Egypt must surrender, must submit. And right before Pharaoh's eyes, and right before Egypt's eyes, and right before the eyes of the Israelites, that snake is now a staff again. In the hands of Moses, the man of God. What a message God is giving Pharaoh, Egypt, the Israelites, and even Moses. What I want you to see, because it's what I'm asking for in 2020, this kind of raw faith that Moses had to obey God. Because in chapter 3, we read a lot of doubt and fear. You know what? Let's just go there a little bit. Chapter 3, verse, I'm going to skip a little bit. Verse 11. This would be Aida. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." This is what I love about God, how much He loves worship. He lets us know that. If you ever wonder, well, what is it that God loves? Worship. What is it that God loves? Prayer. What is it that God loves? A people of faith. What is it that God loves? A people who have surrendered unto Him. Drop down to verse 14. Now, let's just read it through. And God said, verse 12, and God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." And Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what am I to tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Say with me, "I am who I am." This is what you ought to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." God the Father sent Jesus the Son to you. The I am. The I am. And so before this year comes to an end, maybe we need to ask ourselves some of those questions that I referred to, or maybe other questions that you have on a personal basis with God. For years, I've asked the Father, "How long, Lord, before my children are radically serving you?" Because you know what? They do serve God in their way. But we're not called to serve God in our way. We're called to serve God the way He wants us to serve Him. And that's how I want my children to serve God. The way God wants them to serve Him. Radically surrendered. Loving Him so much that they decrease till God increases in them. So I asked these things, "When, Lord?" And He said, "My timing is perfect." Okay, all right. Your timing is perfect, Lord. That's what I'm saying. Whatever question you have, go ahead and ask Him. Because God has the answer. God has the answer. "When will I be healed, Lord?" God has the answer. "When will I get that promotion?" God has the answer. "When will I hear from you?" God has the answer. "When will my marriage be restored?" God has the answer. "When will my home surrender to you, my household?" God has the answer. Ask Him your personal questions, and then ask Him some of those questions that I pose to you. And then remember the question that I asked you this morning. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand that you're still holding on to? I think it's time to release it. I don't know. Do you want to wait till 2030? I got news for you. You may not be here. I don't know. Only God knows. I don't know. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Why wait if you can do it today? Why wait if you can do it today? And so, let's begin the year just taking a personal inventory. Just saying, Lord, you know, whatever you need to expose in me, expose to me. Let me, my eyes, see it. Give me understanding of what I yet hold on to that I need to lay down. Do I need to present myself at the altar and lay myself down before you? When I say that, I don't mean that you have to prostrate yourself down. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I mean, it's lay your life down. Lay your job down. Lay your career down. Lay your finances down. Lay your gift down. Lay your talent down. Lay your ministry down. Listen, God asked me to lay down the church that I pastored. I'm making it real to you. He came to Lou and I one day and he said, lay down this church. It's in your soul. It's my church, Aida. Oh, but I think it should be this way. I think it should be that way. I think by now we should da-da, 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 da-da. He said, lay it down, Aida. Are you willing to lay it down? Because then I'll lift you up and you'll do what I've called you to do. And so one of the hardest things that Lou and I ever did was to lay down the church and give it to God. When I say the church that he and I pastored, that particular sheepfold. And what he's done in the lives of the people has been above and beyond. Amazing. Amazing. And what God was able to do after we laid it down, above and beyond amazing. Our expectations. We could not have accomplished and have done what God called us to do if we were not willing to lay it down. See, after a while, you think it's your church. It's not. You think it's your ministry. It's not. You think it's your marriage. It's not. It's your child. It's not. It's God's. If you're Christian, it all belongs to God. I know this is a hard message for 2020. But I think I'd rather give it now than come June mid-year. I'm just saying maybe there are some things you've got to lay down so that God can lift it up and do with it what he wants to do. Amen. You know, I have a feeling that Moses had no clue when God asked him. Actually, he didn't ask him. He told him, throw down the staff. I don't think Moses had a clue what God was about to do. I don't think Moses had a clue what God intended to do. How surprised even Moses was, because then we read, go with me to chapter 5, and I'm going to close with this. In chapter 5, how could Moses have even imagined this? He didn't have to. All he had to do was obey God's instructions. Amen. In chapter 5, let's start in, I'm reading an English-Spanish Bible. And so I'm reading some things in Spanish and I'm reading some things in English. Okay. Actually, it's not in chapter 5. It's in chapter 4, verse 17, just one verse. Are you with me? Exodus 4, verse 17. This is what God says to Moses. Now take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Take this staff. What staff? The staff that only belonged to Moses before, but now belonged to God and was in the hand of Moses. Do you hear that? And now Moses could perform miraculous signs with it. Why? Because now it was the staff of God. And what were some of the signs that we know of? How many remember that Moses parted the Red Sea with the staff in his hand? How many know that Moses brought forth water from a rock with the staff in his hand. How many know that Moses led the nation of Israel with a staff in his hand? But it was God's staff in his hand. Not his own anymore. Now belonged to God. So God could do with it what God wanted to do. So God has his way. Go ahead and let's stand up. Listen, I am who I am has sent you and me. The I am has sent you. Not just me, the I am has sent you. Listen, we are called. We are appointed. We are anointed. And I'm saying in 2020, you need to know your assignment. Know what you're called to. Know who has called you. So Rebashishi. My prayer is that in 2020, Lord, like Moses, you speak and we obey. You speak and we listen, Lord Jesus, with a heart towards obedience and surrender. I pray that in 2020, Lord Jesus, not like 2019, not like 2018, Lord Jesus, where we want to plea bargain with you, where we want to have dialogue, but Lord, listen to me. Let me protest. Let me murmur. I don't think I can. I don't think I will. I don't think I could. I'm not able. I don't have the finances. I can't. I can't. I can't. Lord, let us be like Moses. Without one word, we lay it down, Lord Jesus. I declare that in 2020, it's time to throw down whatever you've held so tightly in your hands and claimed it as yours and not given it over to God. It's time to throw it down. And sometimes it's not what's in our hand, but it's ourselves. Lord, sometimes we just got to go before the altar, whether it's the altar in our home or the altar in the church, Lord. But we got to come before you and say, I lay myself down. I prostrate myself before you. Have your way in my life. The things that I'm still holding dear and near to me, I want to surrender them over to you. Lord, I declare over this body here, Lord, they are loosed and released from the entanglements of years past. Loosed and released from all the weights of years past. I declare them free from the fears and the worries of years past. I'm declaring, Father God, an increase to their faith muscles. After having heard the word and heard the word and heard the word and heard the word and been prayed over and over and over, Father God, faith is growing in them. Faith is growing in them. You're stretching them, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the work that they're doing, Lord, here, there, abroad, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the church plants that they have sown into. I thank you for the lives that they've touched. I thank you for the souls saved, Lord. I thank you for every healing and miracle in this house of God. But going forward, Lord Jesus, we're giving you a harvest, a greater harvest still, Lord. More and more for you, Lord Jesus. We can't outgive the God who's given us his only begotten Son. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you. Let the gifts, Lord Jesus, in this house come alive. Come alive. I stir them up in the name of Jesus. I stir up the gifts in this house, Lord. I stir up the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, Lord. I stir up the preaching and the teaching in this house. I stir up the talents that you've given them, Lord Jesus. I stir up your people, Lord, on fire for Jesus Christ. I loose and release holy fire into this house. A fire that would consume them and change the world. Ignite the world for Jesus. I bless Pastor Monette, Lord Jesus. I bless her, Lord, and I pronounced her blessed and holy and healed of the Lord. Going forward, Lord, there's nothing she can't do. for you are Emmanuel with her. Just as you said to Moses, I am that I am is going with you and has gone before her to clear the road of any stubble, any obstacle, anything that would impede, contain, restrain from the things you've called her and this church to. I lift up the leadership in this house, Lord, blessed and anointed of God. Hearts pure for Jesus, surrender to you and to their authority. A holy and mighty priesthood in this house. Kings and priests, Lord Jesus, children of the Most High God, servants of the Lord. I thank you that these doors are wide open, Lord. I'm calling the lost in. I'm calling the lost in, Lord. I'm calling the discouraged in. I'm calling the brokenhearted in. I'm calling those that are broken and in despair into the house of God, house of worship, house of prayer, house of your glory, house of your presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is alive and well. Hallelujah. Where we have all surrendered to you, Lord. Not our church, not our service, bride of Christ and the service of the Lord. Bless them in their finances, Lord. Bless them in their giving, Lord Jesus. Multiply that miracle seed, Lord. Let it go far and wide, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for the gift of friendship and alliance and partnership, Lord, over the years, over the many years, for your glory, Lord Jesus. I declare that they go from glory to glory in and through Christ Jesus. They're going higher than they've ever been before, soaring like eagles, Lord Jesus. High places, wide places, Lord. I thank you for every stake that's been put in that sand, Lord Jesus. Immovable, unshakable, Korabasa. Every prayer answered, Lord. Every word of God fulfilled in Jesus' name. I thank you for the lives that represents, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this prophetic act of God. You, Father God, will move on the behalf of their faith, my God. And so, Lord, not just a happy new year, but the year of the Lord, a year of your lordship. Jubilee because of who we belong to. Celebration because of who you are. We are your people and you are our God. Jesus is your name. Jesus is your name. Jesus is your name. We exalt you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name and the people of God, we say, amen, amen.
Towards the end of our worship service today, we are reminded that the Word of God is powerful. Let's meditate on the portion of this scripture, and we're going to show a short video of worship, referring to what the Word of God says. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. The Lord is good to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let's show the video. Lord God, we're all humbled to be here today, a time for all of us to reflect on what has passed. It's all because of your faithfulness, Lord, that we're all here. By your mercy and grace, your mercies that never fail, your compassions that fail not, your love for us that we are not consumed. You step down. You stoop down. You expressed your love for us in a way that is so mind-boggling for all of us. Today we thank you, Lord God, for reminding us all. We declare that great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Strength for today and bright hope for our tomorrow. That we are to face this year no longer relying on our own strength, no longer relying on our own understanding, no people's opinions. Your word reminds us that what is good before your sight is for those who have learned how to put their hope and their trust in you. What is good in your eyes, Lord, is to the person that seeks you with all of his or her heart. Lord, we commit to you our time of seeking you as a church. We thank you for your word that is life to all of us. Your word declares, seek the Lord and live. no longer just merely existing, but God, your heart's desire for us is to live meaningful and purposeful lives. We thank you for your word that you have shared to us this morning through your servant, God. You have given us so much. We have your Holy Spirit living in the hearts of those who believe in your Son, Jesus. Jesus, you are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. You are our wonderful counselor. We need your guidance. We thank you that, Lord, there's hope even for our past mistakes, consequences of past wrong decisions, never turning to you whether this is the right way to do things. But, Lord, we are hopeful that, Lord, that's going to change. Because, Lord, through the help of your Holy Spirit, you're changing us all. That this year will never be like any other year. Because you're the God of new beginnings. That, Lord God, you have called us no longer to live our lives just for ourselves. But to live a life totally surrendered to your Son, Jesus. Time is a gift from you, and this day is a gift from you, God. Thank you for speaking to all of our hearts. Thank you for loving us the way you do. You never give up on us. To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before your glorious presence. Thank you, Jesus, for going before us. The road may be bumpy, but God, to know that your presence is with us gives comfort to all of us, Lord. And today we thank you for everyone, Lord, in this family of God. Our children, our young people, young adults, seniors. Fruitfulness comes from only your Holy Spirit. And may we never strive on our own, relying on your strength, God. Pray that you would extend your mighty hand upon us, Lord God. That your light shine upon us so brightly, God. For you have promised that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter like the noonday. There will be clarity in our decision making. No confusion, because we are led by your Holy Spirit. Your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. As we even commit to you our goal to read the Bible this entire year. We thank you how you're going to speak to all of us, oh God. Giving us all the heart and through your grace to obey as you speak like Moses, God. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to bless your servant today. We thank you for the life of Pastor Aida and even Sister Dina, was alongside her, Lord God, in the work of God that you have entrusted to her. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for the anointing upon her life that has touched many lives and will continue to touch many more. We thank you, Father God, for her faithfulness and her strong desire and passion to serve you as an example to all of us. Her heart's desire to see everyone in her family serving you, God, radically changed, which is our heart's desire too for most of our loved ones who still need to know you. We put our hope in you, Lord Jesus, because, Lord, this is your desire. So, Father God, we receive that anointing that comes from you, O God, that this year, let this be the year, Lord of the harvest, O God, that you would use us, O God, you're going to turn many hearts. As we say yes to you, we will just be your messengers, God, sharing your love, sharing the truth, in the love of God, in Jesus' name we pray. As we call on the ushers, as we take our second offering to bless our Pastor Yida. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Lord, let me live in the glory. Lord, let me live in the glory. Lord, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay.
Come on, sister.
You've set my feet upon a rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go.
my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Upon a rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you. Till the very end.